Let's enjoy this ongoing message by Sam Adeyemi.
We'll read from Numbers chapter 13, verse 33. All of us will read together. We'll start from there. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 33. Let's go. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. We'll title this Building Your Self-Esteem. Building Your Self-Esteem. This subject is foundational to our capacity to fulfill God's destiny for our lives. And fulfilling God's destiny for our lives, achieving God's goals for our lives, that's our own definition of success. Now, Numbers 13, especially the verse that we read, is one of the most remarkable examples in scriptures of how the way we see ourselves can affect our effectiveness in life. The way we see ourselves can have phenomenal impact on our capacity to be effective in this life. Self-esteem is how you feel about yourself, which is born out of your opinion of yourself. How you feel about yourself, which is born out of your opinion of yourself. Your self-esteem is a product of your self-image. Of course, the image is the picture. So the self-image is the picture that you have on the inside of yourself. And that affects our lives in so many diverse ways. Self-image. The word image appeared in the first mention of the creation of man. At least in the biblical account of the creation of man, the word image showed up. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Wow. Your capacity for dominion has been tied to visuals, tied to pictures, tied to images. Let us make man in our own image. And God created man in his own image, you know. He says, and let them have dominion. Visuals are important. And I think that the most important of them is the visual of the image or the picture that you have of yourself. I believe that that picture controls your life to a large extent. You are not likely to attempt anything beyond the capacity of that person that you see on the inside. Self-image is very, very important. And you've got to be very careful who shapes that image. Because once it is shaped, it's going to affect every area of your life. You will not attempt to get anything that that person that you see on the inside is not entitled to. It is only what that person deserves that you will make any attempt to get. Any reduction in the size or the capacity of that person on the inside will lead to a reduction in your total capacity to be effective as a human being. Self-image. So, in the biblical account of the start of the experience of the human race, there was a problem in Genesis chapter 3. Let's check it out. Genesis 3, verses 1 to 7. It says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they knew that they were, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering." This is amazing. When you read the last two verses there, especially, you agree with me that this was about images. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. A tree desirable to make one. This is amazing. She had not tasted the fruit. All of this happened in her imagination. She had not eaten the food, yet she knew that it was good for food. And that the tree was desirable to make one wise. Satan said to her, "When you eat it, you will not die." That's amazing. He was changing the images that she had been given. He contested the image that God put there. Remember, God had said, "Let us make man in our own image." He created man, created them in his image, male and female, he created them. The image, Satan went after that image. And then said, "It is when you eat the fruit that you will become like God and be wise, knowing good and evil." They ate the fruit because they wanted to become like God. And they would not have been in that situation but for the fact that the devil sold them a lie. Amazing. All of these transactions were going on in the imagination. They saw that the tree was good for food, pleasant on the eyes, desirable to make one wise, took of its fruit and ate. See? The taking of the fruit and the eating came later. See how your self-image will ultimately shape your behavior, shape your decisions. The amazing thing here is that it says that the eyes of both of them were opened. Wow! This was not a normal operation. This is what we call revelation. In other words, the destruction of your self-image can come by revelation. Why? Because it is backed by Satan. He knows when he strikes at that image, that picture on the inside of you, he is striking at the core of your being. We ask the question, Adam and Eve ate the fruit of the tree because they wanted to become like God. Who were they like in the first instance? Because we had read, God said, let us make man in our own image. They were like God already. The destruction or reduction of your self-image and subsequently your self-esteem strikes at the heart of the core of your being and has the capacity to make you dysfunctional. Be careful who is shaping the image that you have of yourself. Whoever that person is shaping your destiny. That person is shaping your future. Who is shaping your self-image? So here we know, first of all, that other than God, the being that is very interested in your self-image is Satan. And we need to be sensitive. Very, very sensitive to the information that comes to us. Not every information is from God. Some are satanically inspired. If it's going to hurt that picture, hurt your heart, hurt who you are on the inside, hurt who God said you are, react to it. It is a temptation. We call it temptation. It's an attack on your destiny. Why was Eve having a conversation with Satan? Who are we discussing with? Who are we listening to? And when I say who, you know, it comes in different categories, because the reality is, just like in the first instance, the record that we have is that Eve was having a chat with an animal. Okay. We need to understand that Satan leverages phenomena and personalities on our planet to discuss with us. You remember Mark 11, where Jesus spoke to a tree, and the Bible says here that Jesus answered and said to the tree, the tree was speaking to him. Not the tree itself. I'm just saying that Satan leverages situations or circumstances, leverages phenomena to speak to us. Anything that contests what God has said you are in your heart is speaking to you, speaking to the core of your being. And if it can hurt your self-image, it hurts your life. In many instances, our self-image is shaped by other people's opinions, shaped by what other people say, because that's us. Except you look at the mirror, you don't see your face. So we depend on other people to get an accurate impression of ourselves. While that has its good side, it has its dangerous side. Because the big question then is, what is the capacity of the person that is looking at you and that is describing you to you? If something is wrong with the mirror, if the mirror is cracked, the image of you that will come from the mirror will be broken. And many of us are getting information from broken sources. This is important. Jesus was interested in the public's perception of who he was. It's good to know. But it may be risky to build what we believe or who we believe we are on other people's opinions. Why? Something is wrong with the way other people see. Okay, so let me read Matthew 16, verses 13 to 17. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? That's it. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Wow. Who do people say that I am? Please pay attention to this passage. The people got it wrong. The people got it wrong. Some of us have been listening to the wrong people. We've been defining ourselves through broken mirrors. Sometimes even your parents don't know who you are. Your friends don't know who you are. Who you really are. They got it wrong. Everybody was trying to fit Jesus into existing molds. They were trying to fit him into history. But there had never been a Messiah before. Listen to me. You know, when John the Baptist was born, he was a miracle. Born to two parents that were old. The mom well past menopause. And it was an angel that announced he was about to be born. And because the man, his dad, you know, Zechariah, was having doubts. Then the angel said, I'll give you a sign. You're not talking until the day the child is born. And gave him the name, John, which means God's favor. The day John was born, the neighbors were asking, what will be the child's name? The mother said, John. You know what people said? They said, but no one in your family ever bore that name before. Where did you get that name from? That's unusual. Let's ask the father. The father said, bring a slate. He wrote, John. And then his mouth opened. So they had a custom of naming children after people that had existed before in the same family. Excuse me. This is John the Baptist. You've never had a John the Baptist in your family before. So when Jesus came, the same thing. And I'm glad to let you know today. They have never seen someone like you before. Anyone that tries to fit you into an existing mold is going to make a big mistake because there's never been someone like you before. If you've spent your life trying to fit into existing molds, I just came to tell you today, stop. You're making a big mistake. There's never been someone like you before. Amen. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? When they were done saying, oh, some say you're Isaiah, Jeremiah, Elijah, or what? He said, okay, fine. So who? You. Who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? You're my disciples. We've been together a short time now. And Peter spoke out. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Pay attention to what Jesus said. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. Wow. The true identity of Christ could only be known by revelation. That this is important. Notice that I said, when the Bible records in Genesis 3:7, that Adam and Eve ate the fruit and their eyes were opened. And that was a spiritual thing. It was a spiritual opening. I'm saying to you, there is the possibility for you to get a revelation, supernaturally inspired information to shape your self-image, and it can be satanic. On the other hand, there is the potential for you to discover who you are, to discover your identity, and it can only come by revelation. No one has a right to label you who has not gotten a revelation of who you are. Did I hear you say amen to that? Mm-hmm. No one has a right to put a label on you. And I'm saying to you also, Whatever image you constructed of yourself that was not built on revelation, it wasn't built on God said, was the wrong image. Today, in the name of Jesus Christ, I prophesy for you. Open heavens. Open heavens. The day Jesus was baptized at the River Jordan, as John the Baptist brought him out of the water, the Bible says that the heavens opened and that the Spirit of God came upon him in the form of a dove. And God spoke from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Wow! That was revelation defining his identity. It was so powerful, it rang out in the realm of the spirit to the extent that when he was to be tempted by the devil, Satan came after that thing that God said. Remember, I said if Satan can hit at the core of the image that you have of yourself, he hit the core of your life. He said, if you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. Only God knows how many times each of us has had the word, if you are. If you are. If you are. A challenge to who God said you are. If you are. I prophesy once again in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Every thought, every idea, every concept in your heart, in your mind, lodged in your emotions, that is incongruent with who God has designed for you to be today, we destroy them in the name of Jesus Christ. Remember, changing your thinking is spiritual warfare. Constructing your identity, this is spiritual warfare. God speaks and says, let us make man in our own image, and Satan comes and attacks that image in Adam and Eve, and the whole of mankind has big problems up until now. Big problems. So, Satan speaks to us directly. He leverages other people to speak to us to shape our self-image. Satan leverages our circumstances. This is important. Leverages our circumstances to speak to us, to sponsor revelation of who we are. For some people, it's a physical disability. It's a physical disability. It may be the shape of the body, maybe the length. See? It may be the absence of a part of the body. And Satan leverages that to damage our self-image. Oh, my. The true value of a human being is not in the physical body. It's in the spirit. If we dissolve your body, about two-thirds of it is water. The rest we can disintegrate into different chemicals like magnesium, sodium, chlorine, phosphorus, and so on. They won't sell for that much in the market. Your real value is not in your physical body. It's in the image. It's in the spirit. So the fact that you're missing a small part of the body or one part of your body is bigger than the other one there's hardly anybody that has everything perfect in their bodies. You need to know that. But Satan is so crafty. He's so experienced in using just the absence of one small part of the body to damage the real person on the inside. When I was in high school, it was an all-boys school. I never participated in it, but the guys would be bragging, you know, about their manhood and the length, and some people would be feeling, you know, developing low self-esteem on the length of what? It's complete nonsense. The ladies, I understand, is the same. Measuring different parts of the body against the other, it's complete nonsense. The value of a human being is not there. Jesus said, okay, that a man's life does not consist of the abundance of the things he has. So, I'm talking about our circumstances. I'm talking about the exam that we wrote. I'm talking about the job that we got or didn't get, the interview that we passed or didn't pass. I'm talking about the size of the car that we drive or the one that we don't drive. Or the one a neighbor has, we don't have, and all. Oh my God, It's all satanic, and you have to be sensitive to recognize. So, God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." When Satan showed up, what was the first thing he said? He attacked what God said. If you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. What was he trying to do? Drag Jesus into the realm of performance. Jesus had the power to do it, but he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord does man live." Hallelujah! Woo! You succeeded in taking away the revelation from the first Adam. You succeeded in getting the first Adam to doubt what God said and to begin to search for his identity where it wasn't. Allowed you to name him. He became a disaster. Satan, I'm not going down that road. Hallelujah! I'm not going down that road. Man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So I want to say to someone here today, if you ever labeled yourself or allowed them to label you by the circumstances of your birth or by your educational attainment or by your material acquisition, you made a big mistake. Today is the day of correction for that mistake. I came to say to you, if you have received forgiveness for your sins, you have Jesus in your heart, God removed the nature of sin from you, which is the nature of the devil, and puts his own nature in you, you and your Father are one. Hallelujah. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Hallelujah. Today is a day of adjustment. Just adjusting the image. Somebody is getting his or her dominion back. Where you failed before, the days of failure are finished. The real you, with God's nature inside you, with Christ living through you, can never be cursed. Whatever Satan found as an opportunity to limit your progress, I declare it is finished today in the name of Jesus Christ. Alright? So let's end where we started. The people that said in Numbers 13:33, we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Some people, there were 12 of them, 10 made that statement, but there were two, Joshua and Caleb. Numbers 13:30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." Hallelujah. Someone say with me, "I am well able." Woo! I love the song by Sinach. I know who God says I am. Hallelujah. Somebody say with me, in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare today that I am created in the image of God. And I declare in the name of Jesus, any information that does not align with who God says I am, it's a lie from the pit of hell. I declare that I will never accept the lie. I am who God says I am. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. It is no longer I. It is Christ living in me. If Jesus cannot fail, I can never fail. If Jesus cannot be poor, I can never be poor. It is Christ living in me. If you believe that, say a powerful amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let me say a quick prayer for that honest person that is a part of this service. You may be in our service physically, it may be online, and you say, "You know what? My relationship with God is not okay." I'll tell you that's exactly where to start from. Once sin sets in like it was for Adam and Eve, you will be living by revelations from Satan that will sell you short. But God sent Jesus to die for us on the cross. The price has been paid. All we need to do is ask for forgiveness. So if you're that honest person, can you please put your hand on your heart? You may be here physically, you may be online. I don't have a relationship with God. I'm a sinner. I want God to forgive me my sins. Every human being will die one day. And the Bible tells us there's life after death. And if you have the nature of God in you, it says you go to heaven to live with God. And somebody is saying, "I'm not absolutely sure that I will make heaven. God forbid I die today. I want to be sure. Just put your hand on your heart and be a part of this prayer. Please say this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for everyone that said this prayer. Thank you because their sins are forgiven now. And Jesus said there is joy in heaven among the angels when this happens. Woo! Thank you because the nature of sin is removed from them. Your own nature is in them now. We just pray, Heavenly Father, teach them to know you personally. Teach them to love you and to love other people the rest of their lives. In Jesus' name. Amen.